This is Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Hola, everyone.
Hi, friends.
We're still going.
Jen changing it up on you, folks.
It was still hello.
It was.
And welcome to Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast. We're so glad you joined us. We have an interesting conversation to have today.
Yes. Yeah. It's
heavy on my heart this weekend about roadblocks to healing.
Uh-huh.
And there's a light way to look at this, and then there's some heavier ways to look at it. So,
yeah. So I just thought of the question, what is stopping you from taking your next step? What is getting in the way? And Jen and I can speak firsthand because we've allowed a lot of things to get in the way of healing, as everyone on this planet has done, and
right?
Has came up with a zillion excuses of why not to. And we just wanted to kind of talk about some of those excuses. And even others, there might be others, and I'm sure there's others that are really just unaware,
yeah,
that they may need healing.
Oh,
and what maybe yeah. some of those things might look like in your life. Because if we don't know what we don't know, right? So why would we go get healing if we're unaware that that might be something we need? So, I really feel compassion for those, because that's really hard. Like, you just maybe sit in and think that this is the way you're wired and this is the yep. way your life is going to be forever. And you don't know that there's a root that needs pulled up and healed.
Yeah. Oh, I've heard people. Oh, go ahead.
Nope. Yeah. Just.
I've heard people say, you just made me think of, you know, people think that's the way they're wired. I've heard people say, well, it's just the way I am. And it's like, no, I want to say, no, that is not just the way you are. And what they're referring to is maybe they have a hair trigger temper, or they retreat from intimate relationships with people where they can be vulnerable, or I don't know. It could be a lot of things, but those in specific. Of people saying, that's just who I am. That's how God made me. And it's like, no, that is not how God made you. So,
And I'm thinking even a couple more, just like being afraid to do anything. Cause I remember like making all of my decisions about whether I leave and go to whatever event based on all the fears surrounding it. Like, can I get hurt there? Can my kids get hurt there? Are we going to get sick? Like, we have these feelings for so long, and these fears and all these things, we really just think it's part of normal life, and everyone does that.
Yep.
And now being on the other side of that and knowing that I don't worry about every time I leave the house. Now, sometimes I do, absolutely. But every time I leave the house, I'm not making my decision based on what my fear is saying.
Yep.
It's incredible. Yep.
Fear will definitely do it. I think for me, I recognized I was not like other people, or I felt abnormal. And I hate the word normal, but I didn't feel typical. And I thought I just needed to learn how to be okay with not being typical, not being like just knowing that I was broken. And I think I've said this probably a few times on here, and I've said it in my book, that I thought if I could just learn how to live reasonably happy in my misery, I could be okay. And for me, it took me getting to the point of wanting to, I mean, I had suicidal thoughts forever, but getting to the point of I did want to kill myself, and my husband suggested counseling. And up until that point, I thought, I didn't take counseling seriously. I just thought I just needed to I needed to white knuckle through it. I needed, you know what I mean? I just needed to push on, get through stuff, learn how to live it just where I was. And I'm just so grateful that I went through healing, but I went kicking and screaming like as a last resort. I was to my rock bottom, and it was kind of ugly. And I realized after I went through mine, and I would talk to other people that I knew like very well, and I knew they had been through abuse and things, and I would say, man, counseling is a good thing. Like working through these issues is a good thing. And they would go, I'm fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine. I just, you know, I've just moved on. Those are the words they would say to me. I've just moved on. And it's like, I don't think you have. Like you may think you've moved on, but your emotions, your body, everything else is still back there.
So I would say I would put that down maybe as roadblock number one then. Roadblock number one being denial.
Denial. Oh, yes.
Just, and I think religion plays a big part into it, at least from the world that I see, because, I'm a Christian woman and I go to church, but I hear that in church sermons all the time, it's under the blood of Christ, move on, don't go back there, things like that. So
Oh,
it
press
keeps
on.
us, yes,
I've
it
heard that a
keeps
lot.
us
Press on
in.
towards the high calling.
Right. So it keeps us in that religious state of denial, which is very dangerous because I've seen friends go in and out of that area of denial where they're so desperate. And, Monday through Saturday, they're so desperate. They are dealing with the same crap over and over, and they're in the same cycles. And so they're almost at their bottom, right? They're almost at the end of their self, like you and I were before we went to seek counseling and get help. They're almost there. And then they hear a sermon and it literally starts that cycle back over. Or they sit down with a very religious person or someone gives them terrible advice, like, you don't need to worry about that anymore. It's all under the blood of Christ. Or fear's a liar, or says something and it literally puts them back in the cycle of denial.
Oh my
And so that's
gosh.
why, yes. And so you watch friends and yourself for years in this mental battle, if you will, of going in and out. Like, I should really get some help. I really should get some help. And then you hear something and it triggers that very familiar memory or feeling in your brain that puts you right back into that state of denial that says, I'm fine. I'm fine. You're right. Jesus died for this. He died for everything. I'm fine. I just need to keep going. And Jesus has covered it all.
Yeah,
Right?
right.
So, which Jesus, without him, your healing is not going to happen. So, this is not a knock
Right.
on Jesus. This is a knock on religion and the weapons, it's in the ways that it's used as a weapon.
Right. I've heard people like, well, I won't say I've heard people, but I know people will think like, if I go to counseling, if I admit I have an issue, I'm denying the power of Christ.
Right.
And I would push back and say that Christ can heal anything, and he will use doctors, he will use counselors, he will use all kinds of ways in which to heal us. And I would say, yes, amen. It is all from Jesus, but
Amen.
it is not denying his power to seek out help. If you had diabetes, you go to the doctor, you take your medication. That is God healing you physically. God gave that gift, right? Like, so yeah, it's not denying the power of Christ, but nevertheless.
So I would say look at those. If you have been in a cycle like I just kind of talked about and Jen talked about, and you are like almost to the end of yourself, and then you hear some sort of inspiring message, or you get advice, which you think is sound advice from a friend, and you go right back into denial. If you're seeing that as a pattern in your life, you're your own private investigator and you have to look for these patterns and cycles.
No, I like
So if
that.
you're seeing this as a pattern in your life, something you're going in and out of, you might be, in fact, in denial.
In denial, right?
And so knowing is powerful, and knowing that it's, you know, that then maybe you can be inspired to take your next step and see that, oh, I was really in denial. I am, in fact, a hot mess as well, just like
Yeah.
Tiffany and Jen and
Right.
everyone else in this world. So there is no shame in being in denial and needing help, because I'm going to push back and say, we all do. We all do.
Amen. Yep.
Because we live in a broken world and things happen and it's hard. And sometimes we're going to need to be able to process things that happen in our life and deal with it. So there's no shame in any of that, but come out of that denial stage if that's where you're at.
Yeah. And see, I would almost put roadblock number two as religion,
Oh.
not relationship, because relationship is wildly different than religion.
Yep.
Religion is like tradition and expectation and, like observing festivals and things like that. Those kind of things are cool. Like, you know what I mean? But if it is something that your religious spirit says, I need to believe stronger in the power of Christ to do this on my own. And don't get
Yep.
me wrong, Jesus can, he absolutely can completely heal someone in a matter of seconds. I'm not saying he cannot.
Yep.
But if you are still in that cycle, and you're feeling like you're being anti-God by seeking out counseling or help, I would
Yes.
question if that's not a religious spirit.
Right. And I would also go to say that if you don't understand fully religion, you could also put performance in there, religion
Performance, yeah.
slash performance,
Performance, I
because
like that.
if you are doing all the things with all the power of yourself and you're getting nowhere, then maybe religion is in there and maybe you're playing the role of Messiah, right?
Ooh,
So if you're
scary
if
place to
you
be.
Right. And we've all done it because we're like, oh, we've got this. Like, you know, we're Americans, unless you're listening in another country. But for the
Which
most
we have,
part, our which we
listeners that are out of this country. That's correct.
but here in America, we have that famous, we got this, right? And so what we say then when we say we got this, it says we don't need you, God. We got this.
Yeah.
So that's not anywhere close to the end of ourself when we think, because it's just, we're just thinking that we really don't got this, right?
No,
If
not at
we
all.
had this, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about this over and over and over and over, because we don't got it. So religion will tell you you have it. And if you think you have it, then you might be dealing with a religious spirit or just old ways that you have been raised, you know, traditional ways where you have heard maybe in your life, like, girl, just get up, or the famous girl, wash your face, or just get up, pull your big boy pants up, and you got this. Just pull up your big boy pants. You got it. Brush it off. You're fine. Right? So we grew up, we are wired to think in that way.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it can be a very insidious thing to think, I've got this. God, you don't need to have this. I'm in control. And I can say that I have been guilty of that plenty of times, where I have thought, oh yeah, I got this under control. It's all good. It's all good. I don't really stop and seek God when I should and things. I mean, I'm totally guilty of that. But
Yes.
that is a religious performance type thing. And so I'm trying to be more aware of it and asking God to help me be more aware of it, because literally we can't do anything without God. In
Amen.
him, we move and breathe and have our being, right? He is where we exist, the core of who we are. So everything should start with him. And,
Yep.
God does bless us with the ability to do things, but it all starts with him.
Amen. Yep. So take
So
off your Messiah britches,
that's
everyone. That's what I call putting our Messiah britches on. Take them off and realize that you are not him and that you are not perfect. And we are not actually going to ever be perfect this
No,
side of heaven. We
that's right.
strive to be more like Jesus. Absolutely. We want to be more like his characteristics that he modeled on this earth, that we
Yep.
see in his word. We
Yep.
want to be more like that. But we are never going to be like that this side of heaven, completely perfect. So you, friends, can't wear your Messiah britches because you're not Messiah and you need help like the rest of us. So
Amen.
if you think, if you're saying to yourself over and over and over, right as you are about to make the phone call or email the therapist or go to the group at church that's for healing or whatever that is, if you continually talk yourself out of it by saying, I got this, then maybe you are dealing with religion slash performance slash putting your Messiah britches on. You ain't got this.
That's right. But the wonderful, beautiful thing is God has us, right?
Amen.
Like we don't have to have it. I know we get prideful and think we do, but God really has us. I'm really
Yes.
grateful. God saves me from myself so many times. Oh my goodness. I would so mess
Amen.
up my life.
Yes.
So grateful. I'm so grateful.
Oh my
I mean,
gosh, yes.
oof, oof.
And I would say the number one tool if you deal with the cycle in your life to deal with this is the word surrender. As quick as you can lay it down, because you're going to keep picking up that stuff and thinking you have it, as quick as you can lay it down and surrender it and give it over to our maker, it's just a powerful tool for you. I will say
Amen.
there is such peace that comes along with surrendering and laying it down and letting the Messiah be the Messiah. And so I will say that I dealt with that for years. That's why I can speak so much about it. My name, which I almost changed because I do this. This is a cycle I've been caught up in for a very long time. But Tiffany means manifestation of God. And I'm like, no wonder I put my Messiah britches on all the times.
But you are not God.
No,
Neither
right.
am
Like,
I, thank God.
holy moly. That's why, my friends will get mad at me because I'm like, I'm a hot mess. I'm broken. Like, I have to be very aware of who I am and who he is. We're not at the same level. He is mighty. He's the one that can save. Tiffany cannot. So Tiffany can walk alongside with someone and be a good friend and all of these amazing things that God has created me to be. But it ain't the Messiah, I gotta tell
Amen.
you folks. So
Amen.
that's
Well,
just a personal quick testimony for you. Your key is surrender.
and pray for Brittany or Brittany. Listen to me, Tiffany.
Pray, pray,
Pray
pray.
for Tiffany.
Amen.
All
Pray.
right. Let's go to number. You what?
I can always use prayers.
Amen. Me too. Pray for me too. So I would say that the third roadblock to healing is shame. Shame is a huge one, especially when it comes to sexual abuse. If you have a history of that, any kind of sexual abuse, rape, molestation, childhood abuse, adult abuse, yeah, if it involves shame. And I think shame is one of the most insidious chains that get locked on victims and keeps them from moving forward into their healing.
I'll add to that. Shame. We got to add a slash to that one as well. Shame slash guilt. Because guilt will say, it's your fault. So that's why we never take our step to healing, right? Because we think that the abuse, the sexual abuse, the physical abuse that our parents did, whatever else, it will keep us from keeping all of our secrets with shame in the dark, all of our skeletons in the closet because we thought it was our fault. So shame and guilt work so closely together. They're not the same, but they are very close and partnering together through the enemy. And he will use those tools to keep us chained forever and to keep our secrets deep down in the dark. And because he knows the minute that we bring this stuff out into the light and welcome the Lord in, we are well on our way. In that moment, I'm telling you, in that moment, we are well on our way to healing. So he wants to tell you, the enemy, not the Lord, the enemy wants to tell you that, oh my gosh, if you say that, if you say your secrets right now, they are going to look at you and think you are the world's most awful person. You have to keep those secrets deep down inside forever. So, because if people will just look at you like you're crazy, they'll probably put you in a mental institution. They'll probably lock you up because it was your fault. Whatever he can use as a tool to keep everything in the dark, he will, because when the light, here's the key, friends. The light always wins. And he knows the minute it
Amen.
goes into the light, it starts your healing right in that moment. I'm telling you, right in that moment. Are you perfectly healed in that moment? Probably not. Can the Lord do it? Yes. But right in that moment, when you bring it to the light, God starts to heal right in that moment
And
because you have invited him in.
there's a lot of freedom in that. I can tell
Oh my
you,
gosh.
for me, shame didn't look like guilt. For me, shame looked like I was dirty and unworthy. So when
Yeah.
it and it's played out in a lot of different ways, but for me, like I when I met my husband, I this is a really big one, or just anybody that seemed better than me in my own head, I thought if they only knew that these things were done to me, he wouldn't
Yeah.
want me. He
Yeah.
would realize how broken and dirty and soiled I was. Honestly, that's where like shame, whoo,
Yeah.
for me, that's what it was. I was just so dirty. And then for me, guilt came in later, but
Yeah.
when as I was trying to unravel it, because then it was like I was somehow I associated being complicit in my own abuse through like not fighting back or
Yeah.
not reporting my dad when he was doing all the stuff and just a lot of powerlessness. But I thought I should have had power when really there's no way. So but
Right.
my first battle with shame was just that I was too soiled, too dirty. I was less than everybody else. Who would really love me? No wonder all this stuff was done to me. Just I just struggled with shame,
Yeah.
and it kept me chained for a long time. And the truth is, just like you said, when the light really comes in there, and you learn just the arguments to unravel all of that, there's
Yeah.
so much freedom. But you have to tell, and shame
Yeah.
keeps you silent. Shame and guilt will just keep you crazy silent. Like you don't want to tell people.
Yeah.
You don't want it to acknowledge that that stuff happened. I mean, when I first told my husband, we're sitting in the parking lot of a Taco Bell, and I told him in a rush everything that I could think to tell him in that moment. And it wasn't all of the abuse, but the big stuff.
Yeah.
I thought for sure he was going to break up with me. I literally did. I thought I need to cut him loose. I need to let him know how soiled, how dirty I am, how broken I am, all the stuff that happened to me, so that he could break up with me and move on, because that's what I expected, because he was just so kind to me. And I think deep down, I thought I didn't deserve that kindness.
Yeah.
And my husband was just like, "Is that all? Okay, let's go eat." What? Wait a minute. I just told you all this stuff. You should be breaking up with me right now. But of course,
Yeah.
it was just a wonderful moment. It was just a wonderful moment.
Yeah.
But in telling
Thank
that,
God.
in telling I that's that was a load off of my shoulders to be able to share that and just be authentic and real, like this stuff happened. And yeah, God started unraveling it, but it took time.
Yeah. Amen. So I think that goes right into our next roadblock that I just thought of as Jen was processing through there. Roadblock number four being unsafe people.
Oh, I, you know what I wrote? I wrote number four is family and friend pressure.
There
So, oh my
you
gosh,
go.
great minds. I was
Yeah,
like, oh,
I
that's
did
really
think that
number
was a
four.
God drop. So there you go, confirmed right there, friends. So there comes a time, multiple times. I think there is these sweet little windows. And we kind of talked about the cycles we go through as far as healing and being in the same vicious cycle over and over. But there's a moment that we all come to over and over and over. And it's this prime moment of like, we could be inspired in that moment to take our next step. And we are at the end of ourselves. So we find someone in our life, probably at a younger age where we're more innocent and naive and trusting, that everyone's just going to receive whatever we say with a welcoming posture and is going to be safe. So we come to these moments and we sit down and we finally find the courage to tell someone our skeletons, as we like to call it, but our stuff. And it is not received well. Enter the unsafe person. This can look like lots of different people in your life. You'll hear a lot of times through victim, it's family members, moms, dads, priests, counselors. It could be like someone with a title. It doesn't have to be some crazy, psycho killer looking person. It's probably someone in your own home. And we probably have done this to our own children and our own family because we are, again, all broken. But there we come to the end of ourself and we tell someone and they might receive the information well. It could be something as small as a little look in their eyes that sets us back into the cycle of we got this, or we aren't worth the shame comes in. We aren't worth getting healing. It's our faults. These things come back in and stop us from getting healing because of the way the information was received,
Oof.
or that you saw it to be received. And I will not minimize anything out there that a victim felt in that moment, because that was your experience, for sure. But sometimes it literally can be just a look.
Oof.
I've done it. I've done it. Like, I remember a good example of that is Jen and I were on a podcast one night, and we're in a log cabin, so we get little bugs and stuff. It's sometimes, and a ladybug was flying around next to me, and I look over like, "What is that?" or something. Just a look, and Jen even in that moment was like, "What is she looking at?" But it wasn't anything. Jen took it as something she was saying, and neither one of us, I'm sure, remember what she was saying at this moment because it wasn't a big deal. But I was looking disgusted at something flying around at me, and she was talking about something that was important at the time. And I made that face. And so her brain starts coming up with all these things, which all of our brains do, by the way, of all these things that might be happening about what we said. So it's so hard to be that safe person. So I'm not shaming unsafe people. Jen and I have been unsafe people, and I'm
Ooh.
sure we'll be unsafe people
And
again
we've
at
experienced unsafe people.
yes, but this is why it is so important for you to go to someone that is a sa the safest person you can think of when you decide to open up. A counselor in the field that you need help with, whether it be sexual abuse, physical abuse, whatever that is, depression, anxiety, all the things. Really safe person who is trained to do this, or just the safest person you can think of. And I would also say, don't give it all to them in one sitting. Don't give it all to them in one sitting. Give them a little bit. and see how they take in.
Yeah, let them digest it.
Yeah, because it can send you into years again of cycle of I can't tell anyone. I have to keep these secrets dark. Remember last time you tried to tell someone, Tiffany? They looked at you like you were crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's very important, the right safe person.
I can remember telling an assistant pastor's wife early on in my, was I even married at this point? I don't even know. But in my adult life, and I told her, I said, I am so angry at God. And she was like, whoa, 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 whoa. She raised her hands. Whoa, you better watch what you say. You're talking about God Almighty, the big man upstairs. You better watch how you say that, do that. What? And I thought, does he not know that I'm angry? Like, I mean, I couldn't help that I was angry, but what that taught me in that moment, it was something
Yeah.
not correct, was I could not be authentic with God about what I felt. And you know what? God is really, he's big enough to handle our anger.
Right.
He understands that we're angry or we're hurt or the things that we think about him. He already knows. He already
Yep.
knows all our feelings. We are fully known by God. He knows the very hairs on our head. So you can't tell me he doesn't know what you feel. He does.
Yep.
And but that taught me to be quiet, to not share those things that somehow it wasn't acceptable, it wasn't good, what have you. And so, yeah,
Yep. And
safe people are important.
I will tell you from our experience, Jen and I leading CST and just hearing, having the honor and pleasure of hearing other people's testimonies and stories of their abuse, that usually the number one hurt is not the actual abuser themselves. It's not the actual person typically that caused the harm. It is the person, the parent
The
that they
secondary.
told to, like my mom didn't believe me, or my dad said it was my fault, or whatever. Usually that's a bigger hurt and a roadblock for them to overcome, more so than the actual abuse itself. So that is why safe people are so important. So important.
And if you find someone who's not safe and that happens, find someone else.
Yep.
Don't give up. That is
It's an
not a,
interview.
it right. And it's not a commentary on who you are or what you feel. It's just someone who is also broken, who isn't
Yep.
quite sure how to process it. Because
Yeah.
I mean, there are really good counselors out there, and then there's some that are, I'm not going to say are bad, but maybe not as
Right.
trained. So.
Well, yeah. And honestly, we're all a hot mess and broken, and that person could literally just be having a bad day. So don't let that stop you from your healing. One unsafe person, two unsafe people. I don't care how many you have to get to, you will find a safe person. You might have to hire a safe person, but you will find one. And it's an interview process. So if you see that as something that has stopped you or hindered you from getting your healing, I'm going to challenge you to go find a safe person. You're going to
Amen.
find one. They're out there.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to wrap it up at that. If you have any questions or comments, our email address is always in the description of the podcast. We would love to hear from you. If you even are in the Cincinnati area and you want maybe some referrals to some safe people that we know of, we will gladly direct you that way.
Yep.
So, but at this point, we are going to wrap this up and we thank you for joining us. And
Yes.
until next time.
Bye, friends.
You've been listening to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Podcast copyright 2024, Parable Road, LLC.